Good morning from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church in beautiful Silver Hill, Alabama, and welcome to our Sunday morning worship encouragement, God's Loving Kindness in the Morning. Let's begin with Martin Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me through the night from all harm and danger. I pray that you would keep me this day from all sin and evil, that in all my thoughts and words and deeds I may serve and please you. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all that is mine. Let your holy angels be with me, that the evil one may have no power over me. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is in his holy temple. His throne is in heaven. The Lord is near to all who are of a humble and a contrite spirit. He hears the requests of the penitent and listens to their prayers. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to his throne of grace and confess our sins. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, I have sinned, and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blameless when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Lutherans subscribe to the great confessions of faith of the early church. God has not changed, and our faith remains firm in the teachings of the Bible. That's why we often share what is called the Apostles' Creed in our weekly worship. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, let's pray together as we ready our hearts for today's Bible reading. Gracious Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to the earth and sharing your good news of salvation for mankind. Open your holy word to us this morning. Along with our Heavenly Father and your Holy Spirit, minister to our hearts and nurture us in your word. Amen. Today's lesson has everything to do with hearing God and responding to him. The lesson is from Matthew 16, verses 21 through 23. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke Jesus, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." The central question is this: what does Peter's response to God's plan of salvation have to do with us? The big idea goes something like this. Jesus Christ reminded Peter that it is Satan who tries to undo God's plan. That was true for Peter, and it is true for us. So let's begin by looking at our first point. Jesus Christ laid out the plan of salvation. There were consequences for the Lord Jesus. Remember where the plan of salvation had come from? Before there was a creation, God knew that mankind would fall into sin. You can picture the three persons of the Godhead talking over things wherever they were before there was a heaven. That's when God the Son volunteered to fix the problem of sin by paying the price of sin, death. God the Son, pre-existent from eternity, took on flesh and blood when the Spirit of God brought pregnancy upon the Virgin Mary. His very purpose in becoming human was to die for our sins according to that plan discussed by the Trinity before the world was formed. Jesus Christ was fully aware of the consequences of sin and of his death. There were consequences for him. There would be consequences for Jesus' followers. There would be suffering and death. But there would also be encouragement because the Father and the Son would send the Holy Spirit to nurture his disciples in the developing church. These consequences for Jesus' followers were secondary to his own death. The planned propitiation would cover over the sins of mankind. His death would allow mankind to be acceptable to God. That death would allow full fellowship with our Heavenly Father again, just as in the Garden of Eden before the fall into sin. The plan was not fair to Jesus. The disciples did not think it was fair that their leader should die. The disciples did not think it was fair that a Galilean should go to Jerusalem to die. The disciples thought as men and were overwhelmed by God's plan, which made little sense to them. Jesus did share that plan with his disciples. From the time that Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the first day. Matthew 16:21. The point here is this. The disciples had been with Jesus for 3.5 years. They had been through thick and thin. They loved Jesus, but they had never really considered the consequences of sin and the necessity that Christ die for the sins of the world. The scriptures had to be opened to them that they might understand. As the time of crucifixion was coming, Jesus explained again and again what God's plan of salvation was. Death. Jesus had to die. No wonder it was a hard lesson to hear. We know that the disciples heard the plan. They could see that this would not be a kind outcome for Christ. It was pretty apparent that the power structure would win and Jesus Christ would lose. They could not understand why Jesus would have to die. They had no idea why some of them would have to die too. Indeed, most of them would be martyred for their faith. They may not even have considered the consequences for themselves. Jerusalem was so far away. There was no way all these things would work out the way that Jesus laid them out. It did not make sense. Jesus laid out God's plan of salvation numbers of times. It never sank in. Every time they heard it, it just sounded bad. Every time they heard it, they wondered, how would God come up with a plan like this? They recognized that this plan did not treat the Lord fairly. Peter wanted it another way. Peter did not want it God's way. Peter wanted it his way. You and I want to be encouraged. Peter wanted to be encouraged. Yet Jesus Christ laid out the truth. The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after he is killed, he will rise the third day. Mark 9:31-32, it goes on. But they, the disciples, did not understand this saying, and were afraid to ask him. It was only after the resurrection and ascension that the followers of Jesus understood. The Apostle Paul explains 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The point? These disciples were just like us. Human beings do not like bad news. They did not want to hear about the necessity of the Lord, Jesus Christ, dying on a cross. It was totally alien to their understanding of how God works in history. God is concerned about his reputation, yet the disciples were hearing that God would allow his own son to die on a cross, the lowest reputation of all. Peter verbalized what the other disciples were thinking. He wanted a human plan that did not hurt. But our last point here, God's plan is a better plan. Our plans put ourselves first. That is Satan's strategy in undermining our relationship with God. Our plans cause stumbling. The word offense is the word for stumbling block. Our plans are like a trigger or a stumbling block in a trap. The trap stick causes the trap to close when it triggers. We're caught. Our plans are a trigger for forgetting God. Our focus needs to be on God's plan. To deal with Satan, we must look to God. To avoid stumbling, we need to be on God's track. To succeed with plans, they must have God in them. Jesus Christ recognized the work of Satan. Peter got sucked into seeing the world Satan's way. Jesus Christ called Peter back to reality, to God's way of thinking. Jesus Christ saw Satan's ploy. Peter would have been blindsided by Satan, but Jesus lays it out very clearly. Matthew 16:23. Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense, a stumbling block to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." The point is this. Regardless of how difficult God's plan of salvation was, regardless of how hard the death of Jesus Christ would be, it was still a better plan than any plan of Peter or any other disciple or any plan of the world. Simply put, no human plan can save from sin. The bottom line remains, the sins of the world could only be atoned for by the death of Jesus Christ, the perfect lamb that takes away the sin of the world. What does Peter's response to God's plan of salvation have to do with us? Jesus Christ reminded Peter that it is Satan who tries to undo God's plan. You see, we don't need to be part of a planning process to understand God's plan. God's plan was to save the people of the earth from its deadly enemy, sin. The plan required a sacrifice to recover mankind. Jesus Christ was the sacrifice. We're talking from this side of the cross, of course. Peter did not understand, even when Jesus tried to lay out God's plan. He would not fully understand until the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Praise the Lord that Jesus Christ was focused on the plan and accomplishing our salvation. As we end our time together, let us join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, please join us for worship this morning at 10 a.m. if you can. Zion Lutheran Church is a liturgical traditional Lutheran church located in Silver Hill on the corner of 4th Avenue and 7th Street. We are one block south of State Highway 104 and two blocks west of Highway 55. If you find the Silver Hill Library landmark, you are just a block away. Look for our signs. Want more information about our Lutheran Fellowship? Come to our website, www.lutheransinsilverhill.com, or give us a call at 945-5209. May God bless you in your spiritual walk this week, and don't forget to catch God's loving kindness in the morning next Sunday, same time and same place on your radio dial.